Come out of the world, oh my people, sing the truth.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, everybody. We're reading Deuteronomy 31. And that's the Torah reading for this week. And then the prophet is Hosea 14, 2 to 10, Micah 7, 18 to 20, and Joel 2, 15 to 27. And then the Gospels, Matthew 21, 19 to 17. I'm not going to be focusing at all on the questions or anything you write in online. We're here with our group today, and we're going to be focusing on this. And it's important teaching that people get and understand. And but you can post questions below the video later, not on the side chat, below the video later, and I can get to them there. We're coming up to the one Torah reading before, what time is it here? Let's see.
Is it 31.
Deuteronomy 31. We're coming up to the one Torah teaching before the final Torah reading of the year. And then it's coming up is the Feast of Tabernacles, but this week we're having a Yom Kippur, and we're going to talk about it to the end. Just remember, Yom Kippur is repentance for our rebellion for the previous year, so to say. And it's definitely something we have to remember as we read through this. Keep in mind Yahweh's feast days, and keep in mind we're doing this between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. So this reading falls between those two readings, and it's known as the 10 days of Av. Mm-hmm. So this is a very special time according to Yahweh's appointed calendar. And then next week's is the last Torah reading before we have the great Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot. So we look at this week's reading, and it starts with Joshua becomes Israel's leader. So this, we see the passing of Moses and giving it to Joshua. It says in chapter, it says in verse 1, when Moses has finished giving the instructions, this was the ending of last week's reading, this he gathered all of them together. It says, when Moses, and he gave them the instructions, so when Moses had finished giving these instructions, and that is the Torah, he was giving them the Torah, to all of the people of Israel, to everybody in Israel. And when we look at this, who is Israel today? We are Israel. You know, and this was back then of Moses giving these instructions, and we're going to see what he said and how he closed it off. But we have to consider this is directly related to us. You know, a lot of people, when they hear this, they think, well, that's for Israel. That's one of the biggest confusions in Christianity today, to think that the Torah is for Israel and not for them. But we have to overcome this identity crisis and realize what it means to be Israel. And it's not just somebody who's born in Israel or somebody out there today. It's those that believe in Yeshua. We've been, some people like to use the word grafted in, but you're part of the Commonwealth of Israel if you believe in Yeshua. And in want to be with Israel, you adopt or you partake in the instructions for Israel. So Moses, when it ended, he said, and we read it here in verse 2 in this week's reading, I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. Yahweh has told me you will not cross the Jordan River, but Yahweh, your Elohim himself, will cross over ahead of you. That is so powerful, that last part. Yahweh himself will cross over ahead of you. When we think of it as Moses says, he's 120 years old. Now note his age, and when you go back to the time of Noah, Noah said, man's days will be 120 years. And that was not saying man's going to live to 120 years only, because even after this, people lived longer than 120 years. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting that Moses was, in fact, 120 years old when this happened. And he wasn't a sick old man. He was climbing mountains and so on. But he said, I am no longer able to lead you. Well, how many of us thought, why is he not able to lead us? It didn't mean he couldn't physically lead them, because he certainly had the strength to lead the people. He was still climbing mountains. He had everything, his eyesight, he had everything. But what it really meant is, if you take this down and you read into it, is Moses no longer had the permission to lead them. That the permission or the office of leading the children of Israel had been taken away. And as we go back to what we saw before, when he told them, "You will not cross the Jordan, but Yahweh will cross himself ahead of you." Somebody goes ahead of you, what are they doing? They're now leading you, right? So Moses wasn't going to be the one to lead them. Yahweh had told me, "You will not cross over the Jordan." So what does it mean to cross over? And there's so many teachings we've heard in Christianity and in church today about the idea of crossing over. And where are they crossing over from? They're coming from the wilderness into the promised land, from the wilderness into the special place. They're crossing over. And this is really powerful. So Moses did his part, and he was not instructed to do it anymore. He had to take the back seat now. It shows the humility of Moses as well, because a lot of people will try to fight that. But Moses was very humble in that. They were ready to cross over, but Moses wasn't ready to lead them. And the children really weren't ready, but this was what was going to happen. So when we think about the words crossing over from the wilderness to the promised land, think about that in your own personal lives, crossing over from the wilderness to the promised land. When the children left the slavery of Egypt and the promised land is waiting for them, they spent many years in the wilderness. I believe many people today are stuck in the wilderness because they haven't yet found the righteousness and the peace of Yahweh. They're searching for it, but they've got away from the slavery or the bondage of the world, walking towards the promised land, but they're stuck in the wilderness. So when do we know when it's time for us to take that next step or that next level? When are we going to make that commitment to cross over? Not out of. They came out of Egypt. There's a Torah reading called Out Of. They came out of Egypt, out of the slavery, but now they have to take the next step to cross over to or to come into. So on an individual level, when do we all know we're ready and we're prepared to go into this? So the answer is given in the next verse. It's how do we know if we're ready and truly ready to do this? It says here, Yahweh, your Elohim himself, will cross over ahead of you. So Yahweh is becoming the leader, or he's anointing Joshua as the leader here, but he's ready to lead now. So the focus is now coming off Moses and going to Yahweh. So the question is, of how do you know when you're ready to cross over, is who is truly leading you? And we think, what's the representative of Yahweh today? No, we have him in time now. It was Moses, it was Joshua, it was the Holy Spirit, Yeshua. But who is it today that's leading us? Well, Yeshua gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. So the question comes down to, who are we choosing to follow? Are we following Yahweh's side or the enemy's side? Because there's no other sides. There's no other leaders. There's two leaders in this spiritual battle that's going on. Ephesians said there's a spiritual battle that's going on in the world today. So there's two leaders in this spiritual battle. There's Yahweh and there's Satan. That's it. And how do we know we're ready to cross over? Yahweh's ready to lead us, but how do we know we're ready to follow? It's very simple. We have the evidence of the answer to this question by the fruit of the Spirit. If we're ready, we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to show in us. If it doesn't show, it doesn't mean we're bad. It just means we're not ready. We're making the wrong choice of who we're following. Because if you're not following the Holy Spirit, you're following a different spirit. So we need to follow the right spirit. And all of us want to think we're righteous and we're ready, but what's the evidence of the fruit of our spirit? And not 100% of the times, because nobody's perfect, but most of the time, hallelujah. If you see somebody cursing or somebody getting upset or they don't have the fruit of the Spirit, on a spiritual level, it's obvious who's leading them and who's not leading them. The thing is, we have free will and we have free choice. If Christians say or Christianity says the Torah or the Old Testament, the book just to identify what sin is. You know, it's the schoolmaster or the school teacher tells us. You know, but I believe it's also confirmation of who's truly leading us. Yahweh will not let us go without guiding us. So we have Moses, right? Moses left us the Torah. Moses left us the written instructions of the Torah. We have Yeshua, who left us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Today we have both. We have the Torah, and we have the Holy Spirit. We have both. Some people say, oh, His Spirit speaks to me. Well, you better confirm that it's His Spirit in the Torah, because a lot of people think His Spirit speaks to them, but when they match up the Torah, it's not matching up, and Yahweh will never, ever, contradict Scripture. So that's the way to confirm it. We have both. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Torah to confirm it's the right Spirit. And then we have the evidence of the gift of the fruit of the Spirit to know that we're on the right track and we're ready to cross over. It's all given to us in this. So we ask ourselves with Adam and Eve, did they have both the Torah and the Holy Spirit to lead them? They had the Torah instructions, even though Moses hadn't yet written them. The Torah was there, the instructions were there. Just like no one knew right from wrong with the clean and unclean animals, the Torah was there. It was already done. No one knew these things. So they had the Holy Spirit even back then. Some people will say, oh no, the Holy Spirit came later on. No, the Holy Spirit was there back then as well. And they had Yahweh's salvation, because the salvation of Yahweh had always existed. Now, it wasn't some new thing that just happened in a new time. It always existed. Now, the way to get that has been renewed through the blood of Yahshua, but the salvation was always there. But still, with all this stuff, they still messed up. They still made the mistakes. The greatest people of Yahweh in those times still messed up with the guy they served physically and everything else. Spiritual warfare is real, and it says in Ephesians 6 that it's a battle that's consistently going on. It's always going on. It's taking place always and always and always. And as we read and continue to read the scriptures, it says, when we go into the land, it says, He will destroy the nations living there. So He's leading us, and He's going to destroy the nations living there. So, when they take possession of land, so the question now is, who are the nations, or what is the nation? So we think of nations, we have our own thoughts, but think of it on an individual basis. Nations, heathen, pagans, it means one thing, non-believers. Non-believers, that's what the nations are. So Yahweh went ahead of us to destroy the non-believers and pave the way for us. So Yahweh is what it says, He will destroy them. He will destroy the disobedient. We read just about this last week. The curses that go along with disobedience, and then the blessings that go along with the obedience. The question we ended up with, what we had last week, was life or death. Yahweh puts before us life or death. It's our choice. He gives us free will. As we continue reading in this chapter, it says, Joshua will lead you across the river, just as Yahweh had promised. For Yahweh had promised this. So Yahweh does not go back on His promise. Yahweh destroyed the nations living in the land. It says, as He destroyed Shahan and Og and the kings of the Amorites, Yahweh will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. So here's Yahweh telling us two things. You must, I command. You must and I command. So these are important words to keep in mind in your scriptures. Must and command. You must deal with them as I have commanded you. And here is the command that we as believers in today's world, when we cross over, must always remember. He says in verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. That's not an option. That's a command. And you must do these things. This is all about facing not just the physical opponents that they're going to run up against, but it's about facing the spiritual battles that we have. And we need to trust Yahweh. We need to follow Yahweh. Not fear man or panic before them, And we have to understand on a spiritual warfare level that Yahweh and only Yahweh knows our thoughts before we think them, not the enemy. The enemy reacts to our reactions. If we show fear, if we show worry and all this, the enemy knows our weaknesses, and that's where he'll attack us. We need to stay confident, and we need to trust Yahweh. We need to trust him. And this is all in this week's reading here. It says he will personally go ahead of you, and you will neither he will neither fail you nor abandon you. That is the most important thing in this reading to understand. Yahweh will not fail us or abandon us. He will not let us go. Some people get depression, some people get worried, people get fear, and all these things, but it says Yahweh will not abandon us. So then Moses calls for Joshua, and all of Israel watched, and he said, "Be strong and courageous." And he gives them the instructions. "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for Yahweh is personally going ahead of you." Give them the instructions. And then they did a public reading of the instructions, a public reading of the Torah. And there's no command for us to do a public reading. It's in once every 7 years the king is to read the Torah, but there's a principle in scripture to remember Torah, to remember it. And the way we remember it is we study it, we read it, we observe it, and Moses tells us in his reading to even make a song out of it. All of these things to remember the words that are given. So Moses wrote the entire book of the instructions. He wrote it all down, and he gave it to the leaders at that time. He gave it to the priests and the elders at that time. And he gave them this command. At the end of 7 years, during the Feast of Shelters, you must read all this book to all the people and assemble them. So on a personal level, we must figure out whatever way possible to remember the scripture. And reading it often is not just important for us, but he says, "Call them all together, men, women, and children, and the foreigners living in your towns." So everyone in your local community, everyone around you that you're going to be fellowshipping with, call them together, men, women, and children, everyone in your local towns, and read the Torah with them. Read Yahweh's guidelines and instructions with them. Why? So they hear the book of instructions, and they learn to fear Yahweh and carefully obey him. The obedience is written all over this. And this isn't just the original covenant. This was the instructions that Yeshua gave. Do this so that your children who have not known the instructions will hear and will learn to fear Yahweh Elohim. You can say the same thing, we're the children of Yahweh. And the leaders are supposed to do this with the idea of the fear of Yahweh, with the awe of Yahweh in it. So it says to do this, for how long does it say that the children ought to continue to read the guidelines and the instructions to one another and to remember the Torah? It says, as long as you live. In other words, we're never supposed to stop studying the word. We're never supposed to stop, because spiritual warfare is continuously happening. And they predicted what would happen because of just the way the world is today. Israel's disobedience. Yes. Remember the land we're talking about. The land is the promised land. It's not the physical land. We're crossing over. Remember? We're crossing over. Yeah, so this is going from the wilderness. It's not about going from Egypt to the desert to Palestine. We're talking about going from the wilderness or the Babylon in our lives, escaping that slavery, and now going into the promised land that Yahweh gives us. And that promised land is living with the fruit of the Spirit, no matter where we are. We have to live on this land. Yeah.
This is why we got where we got, and then
Yeah. So remember, and also in the scripture it says there's obedience and disobedience, and there's curses and blessings. And when he said in the scriptures a promise, I will not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians, this is a promise of obedience, and his word will not go void here, and so on. So the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence, but also the physical body is there. You know, and so our emotional state, everything. If something is going on, it's who which deciding to follow. And many people are doing this in ways, and they're not realizing they're doing it often. But he says here, in his prediction, after you are gone, these people will begin to worship foreign gods, the gods of the lands where they are going. So now if we take that back example of what land are we talking about, we're not talking about the land, the physical land back there, we're talking about the land of other nations. They started to worship those gods. And we think about this today, of who we're truly worshiping. Remember, there's only two sides, only two leaders. There's many different subcategories and everything else, but there's only two leaders in this world. Who are they? There's Yahweh and there's Satan. And we have to choose which side we're following. And if we're disobedient to Yahweh's instructions, we're following the other side. You know, people give all different names, but if we're disobedient to Yahweh's instructions, we're following the other side. Remember, choose life or death. One is leading to life and one is leading to death. We think about it, and the spiritual warfare and everything else. It says, they will abandon me and break my covenant. This wasn't a question if they will. This is a prediction, that a promise that they will. It's the covenant that I've made with them. We need to reflect and listen to our lives and think about our lives. All the things that are going in our lives that aren't in line with Yahweh's scripture is a result in the areas of our lives that we're not choosing to follow Him. And this is something we each have to figure out for ourselves. You know, people call me up all the time on the tour meetings and all this stuff and the prayer, please pray for this, please pray. When somebody continuously has the same prayer, they need to investigate what is going on in their life. Why are they not following Yahweh? Because Yahweh's word says this shouldn't be happening. And then when they do investigate, they find out, well, in this area, I wasn't doing that. And then they change that. Guess what? Their prayer needs, they say, my prayer is answered. Your obedience is, you know, you step forward in your obedience. You crossed over in that area. Because you stop deciding to be led by the wrong spirit. You stop being led by the right spirit. And it's not that your prayer is answered. It's about Yahweh's going to do what He promised. You know, so it says, curses will come upon the disobedient. But people stop becoming obedient. It's not that their prayer was answered. It's that now they're obedient and they get exactly what Yahweh promised. You know, Yahweh is, you know, he's not going to bless somebody in certain ways that's disobedient. That's when I first prayed for people that are disobedient, is that they will come to know Yahweh. Not that they would get healed of this or fixed of that, or they would get money in this. No, it would be like their heart would change so they could be allowed to even get these blessings. They can't get these blessings if they're not listening. It says, then my anger will blaze forth against them. This is Yahweh. I will abandon them, hide my face from them, and they will be devoured, and terrible trouble will come upon them. Terrible trouble will come upon us. So if you know people that are believers and they have all this trouble in their life, you know, and they're giving you, why me? Why is this happening? All this stuff. The first question should be is, and to yourselves, what are these people being disobedient? No. Remember, salvation is another issue here. We're talking about curses and blessings. They're not the same thing. So we have to fix these areas and find out where we're going wrong and where we're being disobedient. And on that day, they will say, these disasters have come down on us because Yahweh is no longer among us. Well, they're probably right. Yahweh is not among them because they're disobedient. You know, He's not going to bless a disobedient person. He's going to bless the obedient. That's scripture. That's not, you know, that's scripture. At that time, I will hide my face from them because of the evil they commit by worshiping other gods. He will hide His face from them. Some people will suggest, when we look at, you know, and I often don't discuss this because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what truly happens after we die. You know, until we're there. But some people would suggest that the idea of hell with a man with a pitchfork and the devil and fire and all this, is not the reality of it is. It's living without Yahweh. It's just being in a state where Yahweh's not. So Yahweh here says, on the account of their evil, by worshiping other gods, I will hide my face from them. Will hide his face from them. And that is truly a place we don't want to be. So Moses told him they need to remember. To remember always. To always remember these guidelines and instructions of what's happening here. And how do we remember these things? So Moses said, and back then, they didn't have the memory palace back then, so they were figuring out how do they remember these things. So Moses says, write them down into a song. Remember this song and always sing this song. The Torah, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Deuteronomy 30:32, is a song.
What it is?
It's a song. It's a song that Yahweh wants us to remember. So it may serve as a witness against them. It says again, for I will bring them to the land I swore to them and give them all the great blessings. He keeps his promise. They will become prosperous. You have all the food there and everything else, all the nourishment and everything else. But they will begin to worship the other gods. When we think of worshiping other gods, we think like, oh, today I'm going to go to a Hindu church or something. No, worshiping another god is who are we making an idol in our life from? And a lot of people will do it with food. A lot of people will do it with the internet. A lot of people will do it with anything in their life that's more important than Yahweh. Not just worshiping another goddess. You know, so we need to investigate the areas in our lives that aren't adding up to scripture and not say, why me? Why, where's Yahweh? And all this stuff, and start thinking, you know, taking responsibility for ourselves. You know, because and Moses wrote down to strong, and he told us, he commanded us to be strong and courageous. And when he finished writing the entire book of the instructions, you know, he gave it to the leaders. And they placed it beside the Ark of the Covenant, so it may remain there as a witness against the people of Israel. So here's what to remember. In verse 27 in Deuteronomy 31, it says, for I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Even now, while I'm still alive and I am here with you, you have rebelled against Yahweh. It wasn't about Moses. It was about rebelled against Yahweh. How much more rebellious will you be after I'm not even here? Yahweh has given us his instructions. He rescues us. He provides for us and he equips for us. And as we see that and we heed that warning and we start choosing the right side in this spiritual battle and the thing that's going on.
Come out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Torah Life Ministry.
Righteousness being